Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. For above, far above all principalities and power and might, and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Amen. Now, vision, a vision is such an important thing. A person can't get saved because the Bible says that the God of this world has their eyes darkened. They can't see. They can't comprehend their lost condition. They can't see how to get out of their lost condition. They don't even, in many cases, have a desire to get out of it. And so they are blinded in their sin, and there's only one way. There has to be an enlightenment. There has to be a vision that comes to them, an understanding of where they are, and that they are in their sin, and that they need to be saved. I read where vultures will descend on its victim and will immediately go for the eyes, because if there's any life left, they want to take out the vision and thus finish off their prey. And I do believe that the enemy, that there is this spirit of darkness that blinds the eyes of people, and they cannot see. And that's why that they go on in their sin. That's why they go deeper in their sin and don't understand what's happening to them. They don't understand the consequences. And they don't even see where they are as far as the direction that they're following. There's only one hope for people who are blinded by sin, and that is light. Amen. Enlightenment. The light of truth, the light of God's Spirit comes to bring light. And it is only by the Spirit of God. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're only spiritually discerned, spiritually understood. And the light has to come on to make them to realize where they are, like the prodigal who came to himself and recognized, look at where I am. Look at how far that I have fallen, how low that I have fallen in my sin. And so for those of you that are praying for sons and daughters, loved ones, family members that are not saved, just remember that you're dealing with people who are blind. They're really helpless in the condition that they're in. They can't help themselves. They can't get out of their sin. And so sometimes we get we're impatient with them. Sometimes we try to change them ourselves, do something in our own strength to try to change them. But it will only happen by the power of the Spirit of God. It only happens as God comes by His Spirit and opens their eyes and causes them to see. So we need for the unsaved to have a vision of who they are and where they are. Amen. And that will come as we enter in to prayer, as we intercede for them, and we enter into the spirit of prayer, then we are believing that God is going to open their eyes and help them to see. Amen. Saul on the road to Damascus, he was thoroughly convinced he was right. He believed what he was doing was the right thing to do. He had the authority of the courts. He believed he was doing God's business, God's work. He was convinced of it. But he was wrong, and he was blinded in the condition that he was in. And it took that experience, the glory of the Lord, the brightness of heaven, like the noonday sun that shone upon him on the road to Damascus. And he's, from that moment forward, he is changed because he has sight. He has vision. He sees where he is. He understands that he is lost and what he must do, and that God's hand is upon him to draw him to that place of repentance. And so we need vision. We need for the unsaved to be enlightened. If they could just understand, if they could just understand the blessing of God and all that's provided to them, and their eyes could be opened to see the condition that they are in. But not only do the unsaved need vision, but you and I also need vision. Amen. Because you see, vision, this enlightenment that comes from God is an ongoing, it's a continual revelation. I don't mean that it's outside of the Word of God. We know that there's no revelation outside of God's Word, but we do know that God speaks through His Word, and He gives us a revelation of where we are, what we're doing, and what we should be doing. And through His Word, we gain insight into what God's plan is for us. We have a revelation that's sufficient for now, today. I think a lot of people pray, and our prayers aren't very strong, and they're not very much full of faith, is because we really have a hard time believing that God can do wonderful supernatural things right now in January 2013. We just kind of have, we filed it back in days past that used to happen. We know of answers to prayer. We know of revivals. We know what God has done. But we have difficulty understanding that God, that His vision is an ongoing vision. It's a continuing vision that He wants to give to His people. And that's what we're reading about here in Ephesians chapter 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Amen. Wherever you are, whatever you're in need of, whatever the circumstance of your life is right now, God can come and shine His light into your situation and not only help you see what's going on, but He can give to you a solution. He can give to you answers. He can give to you a working of the Spirit of God in your life, an assurance that God is changing and working in that situation. Revelation that's continuing and ongoing, and it's up to date. It's for right now, right today, and whatever that you're up against. The Scripture says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's what we need. Our physical eyes can be open. One of the prophets talked about that. Have eyes to see but don't see. Have ears to hear but don't hear. It was because their physical eyes could see, but there was the eyes of their understanding, the eyes of the Spirit. Man, that's the one that's blinded, and that's the area where our vision needs to be open and needs to be expanded, that we could see in through the eyes of the Spirit what God is doing and what He wants to do in these last days. Amen. And once we have that vision, then we need to begin to move forward. Amen. Someone has said that vision leads to venture. Vision leads to venture. You must first see it, and then it will become action. Vision and then venture. First of all, as you understand what God is wanting to do and how He's wanting to work in your life, then you can step forward in faith. You may not see the evidence of it, but you just know because you have received this understanding. You've received this wisdom from the Lord and revelation from the Lord. You know that God is at work. Amen. You know He's at work, and you have that assurance. And so you see things in the spirit that you could never see in the physical. And you have a whole new confidence and a whole new assurance. God's at work. God is moving because you have this revelation that has come to you by the Spirit of God. Amen. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. You know that all of us, as Christians, we have a calling upon our life. All of us have been called by God. We have been called by God. He has called your name. And He has called you for a purpose. First, He's called you, of course, to Him to be saved and to be a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But He's also called you so that you can enter into this hope. It's the hope of this calling. A hope that you have. You know. You have an expectation that you could never have. You have blessing and privileges that you could never have because of this revelation that's come to you by the Spirit of God. Now, this only happens in people who get serious before God. This happens when you spend some time in the presence of God. And you're calling upon the Lord and you're asking the Lord, Lord, I don't know about this problem. I don't know about this sickness. I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to pray. I know I personally have situations as far related to my family that recently I've just been praying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm not doing anything. I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do. And there's many things planning for this year and what the Lord wants to do in 2013. Usually, you know, I'm planning at the beginning, the first days of January, and trying to make plans for the year. And I felt so just a hesitancy in my spirit just to back up and to wait upon the Lord. What does God want to do? I want to get in step with what He wants to do. I want to be yielded to His purpose. I have the call of God. The hope of the calling involves these wonderful privileges that are ours because we are sons and daughters. Because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All of heaven, all of the privileges of heaven are ours to take hold of because of this wonderful hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And not only the hope, but it talks about the riches of His glory, of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Here we are, you know, we're in our little world, our little existence, and many times you just feel like, Lord, I can't seem to get anywhere. I'm not making any progress. I'm not accomplishing what You want to accomplish. And all the while, the Lord is just saying, if you'll just draw nigh to Me, if you'll get close to Me, then you'll be able to tap into all the wealth of heaven, all the riches of heaven, all the bounty and the blessing of heaven. It's all Yours for the taking if you'll just draw nigh to Me, get close to Me. Amen. Vision leads to venture. Then you first begin to step out. We are not to walk by sight. We are to walk by faith. In the physical, we walk by sight. In the spiritual, we walk by faith. And that faith, it's developed in our life because we have spent time with the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, and in the Word of God. Our faith becomes stronger, and we have this revelation of what God is saying and what He is doing, and it helps you to know exactly the purpose of God. So we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. Sandy, walk by faith in that purchase of that home. Not by sight. Walk by faith. Trust God. Put your confidence in the Lord. Whatever your circumstance is, you see the problem, you see the need, you see this overwhelming circumstance, and by sight, natural sight, it seems like this is what I need to do. Walk by faith, because many times we miss out on what God wants to do to show Himself great and mighty in our behalf. Amen. Glory to God. Not by sight. We walk by faith. You know, it's important that you see yourself and see the things of God from God's perspective. That's really what wisdom is all about. You see your life on your level, and you're going to find yourself in trouble, making lots of mistakes. But when you enter in to the things of the Spirit, amen. If you have major decisions you're making, if there are things that are, you know, great burdens that you're concerned about, then pursue God. Pursue the Lord with all of your heart and see God's plan. See God's plan that you could never see by natural sight. The natural tendency is just to see things around you. That's the problem of the Laodicean church. They didn't see themselves as God saw them. They said of themselves, "We're rich. We're increased with goods. We don't have any need of anything." But God says, "You don't know. You don't see. You don't understand. You need to see from God's point of view, God's perspective." And that is, when God saw the Laodicean Christians, He said, "You're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked." And what did He counsel them to do? He didn't just indict them, He counseled them. He told them, "This is what to do. I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire." Buy of me gold tried in the fire. What was He talking about? He was talking about that which is really a treasure. That which will pass the test of time. A real treasure. And that is God. That's your relationship with God. That's the Word of God. Those are the things that stand the fiery test of what's really valuable. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, really wealthy. Not by man's standards, not by worldly standards, but wealthy from God's perspective. Amen. Glory to God. So His counsel was, invest in that which is really, really valuable. And then secondly, He said, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. First of all, His counsel was, invest in what is really, truly valuable. His second counsel was, put on a cloak of purity and righteousness. Trust the Lord. Allow God to work in your life and to cleanse you and to purge you and to purify you. That was His counsel. That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And then the third thing was, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Because that was really their problem. They needed to put an eye salve. He was saying to them, your eyes need to be healed. You're not seeing. You're not seeing. You don't see yourself. Oh, how often do we find ourselves in that same predicament? How often we look at ourselves, and too often we by comparison, we think we're good. We think we're doing great. We think we're wonderful. We even think we're spiritual, that we're godly, and that we're righteous before the Lord. But when you get in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord says, no, here's how I see you. Amen. You see, that was what happened to Isaiah in Isaiah 6, whenever he saw the Lord high and lifted up. When Isaiah saw Him, then he fell, and because he recognized, I'm unclean, I'm not worthy. And that was the revelation that came to him. And when we come to the Lord, much of our time of seeking the Lord in a time like we're in this week is just a time where God is working in us. He's dealing with us. He's speaking to us personally. Not that we're not praying about other people or other needs or the ministry as a whole. But really what we're saying is, Lord, what I need is an overhaul. I need you to just completely work in me, transform me, change me, turn me around for the glory of God. The problem for the Laodiceans was their eyes, their vision. They needed they needed enlightenment that they might be able to see. I mentioned Paul. Paul later on, when he gave his testimony to Agrippa, he said, "I have not been disobedient to that heavenly vision. It stayed with me since the day on the road to Damascus. My life, my ministry, every day of my life, I have obeyed that vision. I have kept my eyes open. My spiritual senses are still very much open. I'm still trusting the Lord and depending upon the power of the Spirit of God." Amen. Remember the story there in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha's servant. The Bible says that the armies surrounded the entire city totally with horses, chariots. The servant is about to have a nervous breakdown. He's like you and me. Look at all these armies. Look at what's going on. Look at the defeat. Look at the hopelessness in this situation. And I mean, he's about to collapse. Master, don't you know? Can't you see? Look what's happening here. But the prophet, Elisha, he sees what his servant doesn't see. He's trusting God. And so that's his prayer. Elisha prayed and said, or verse 16, he says to his servant, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Praise God. Hallelujah. If only we could see. If only we could see. Oh, we're just this little group on Wednesday night. Not that many of us. But if we could only see. If we could only see really what God, how He's working, what He wants to do. Wonderful treasures. Wonderful blessing. Wonderful provision. Wonderful moves of the Spirit. Wonderful divine acts of God that He's just waiting. If our eyes could be open to see that God wants to move for us. He wants to move for you and for me. So we need to pray, "Lord, open the eyes of those that are bound in their sin and they're blinded. They cannot see the condition they're in. They're blind, groping in this world, don't know the terribleness of their lost condition." And then secondly, pray, "Lord, may the church get their eyes open. May we have a revelation of the things of the Spirit of God to see what God wants to do, how He wants to work." Now, I'm really, you know, I can make plans. I can, you know, plan for February, plan for March, plan for April. Plan this, plan that. And it's not that planning is not good. It is good. But we need to have a vision. We need to have some insight into what God wants to do and how He wants to work and who He wants to use and what ministry that He wants to develop and work through in our lives as we trust Him. Praise God. Amen. And I would definitely appreciate your prayers, because I want to move in the direction of God's plan, God's purpose. Amen. I want to get in step with the Lord and what He's wanting to accomplish. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You speak to us and that You deal with us if we're willing to wait upon You, willing, Lord, to allow You to work by Your Holy Spirit. I know that this is only a work of Your Spirit, Lord, because we cannot accomplish it in our own power. But Lord, You can open our eyes. You can help us to see, Lord, into the realm of the Spirit. You can help us to see that even though that we may feel like that the enemy has surrounded us. Lord, you're greater than any enemy. You're bigger and stronger and more mighty and powerful than any circumstance or any trouble. Oh God, there's nothing that you can't do. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing. And Lord, help us to see that in the eyes of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.